Hallelujah, it's a beautiful day, maybe some rain outside, but glory to God, we need the rains of the Spirit, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, that's just a sign of what's happening,
yeah.
Glory to God, hallelujah. I hope you've come just expecting to hear from God,
right.
Amen. Hallelujah, not from me, but to hear from God, hallelujah. So we're going to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and as we look at the Bible, you know, you can look at it as a book, as a history book, as whatever. But as you read the Bible, I want you to see that God is speaking to each one of us. Speaking directly to each one of us. And as we look at these verses, how many have a Bible you can write in? Glory to God. How many of you have a Bible that you've written your name in?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a book that has my name written in it.
Well, there's a lot of places that we need to write our name in. Because God is speaking to us directly.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'm just going to skip down through some things just to set the stage. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, and would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? When the Lord, and here's Moses, and he's speaking ahead. He's telling the people, God's going to do it. When God does it, when? It's not like if, he's saying when. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Skip down to verse 5. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Drop down to verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity on them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. Verse 21. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Father, we thank you for your word, God. God, as we look into your word, Father, God, open our hearts, our spirits to receive what you have to speak to each one of us, Lord God. God, you're speaking to us individually today, Lord God. God, your word is alive. It's living, Father. It didn't stop back thousands of years ago, Father, but it's alive and active today, Father. So, God, we just ask, Lord God, as we look into your word, Lord God, God, that you will just help us to understand, Lord God, what you have for us, Lord God. God, we want everything you have for us, God. God, we don't want to be left empty, Lord God, and God, unfulfilled, Lord God. But God, we just want your kingdom to come, Lord God, and your will to be done, Father. And God, as we look into your word, as we expound on your word today, Lord God, God, just stir us up, Lord God. Challenge us, encourage us, Lord God. God, to seek you for great and mighty things, Lord God. And God, to go on with you, Father. Not to be weary in well-doing, Father. But God, to continue, Lord God, pressing in and pressing on, Lord God. And God, just trusting you and believing you, Father. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come. And that even as the word goes forth, Holy Spirit, that you would confirm the word of God with signs and wonders and miracles, Lord God. And God, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message is Driven with Passion. How many are driven with passion for the things of God? I mean, you have a passion for it. You just, you're just driven. You're alive. You're seeking and you're active. And you're not going to stop and you're not going to back down. You're not going to be discouraged. Glory to God, but you're a threat to the enemy. Come on. Hallelujah. You're armed and dangerous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so here's Moses, and he said, go in, and here's what you're to do. Drive them out. Get rid of them. Kill them. Destroy them. Make no covenant with them. Make no treaty with them. This is to be your land, not yours and. This is to be your land. Glory to God. But as we get on, years later, days later, weeks later, months later, whatever, in Joshua 16:63, as for the Jebusites who inhabit Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. Now God said, I'm there, I'm for you, just go do it. But the sons of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusite remains in Jerusalem with the sons of Judah unto this day. In Joshua 17:12, but the sons of Manasseh could not take these cities for their own because the Canaanites would not leave the land. Judges 1:19. The Lord was with the people of Judah, and they took possession of the hill country, but they failed to drive out the people living on the plains who had iron chariots. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Tanish in her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dur in her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Achu, whatever, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor the Ahiab, nor Ashes, nor Helba, nor Aphek, nor of Rehob. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethniel, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. They failed. They failed to do what God said to do. And so they compromised, and about 850 years later or so, they lost. They lost the land. The nation Israel went back into captivity. See, God had brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. And he said, it's yours. This is your land. I give it to you. He had made covenant before that, and that was to be their land. And he says, this is your land. There's, you know, there's people in there, but they're heathen. They're worshiping other idols. They have altars to that they sacrifice to. And God says, go in, drive them out, and possess the land. You're well able. He said, I'm with you. I'm a mighty and a terrible God. And in all these cases, we see that they failed. How many want to be successful and how many want to fail? I want to be successful.
Amen.
Glory to God. I don't want to, you know, just get the crumbs. I want the whole deal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's God's will. His word is His will. Hallelujah. So, their promised land was physical. Our promised land is spiritual. Their battle was against seven demon-possessed nations that had to be conquered. But each one of those nations represent things we need to battle in the spirit arena. And we went into detail last week on that. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none come in. Here's Jericho, and at that time the Israelites had crossed the Jordan. They had crossed Jordan, and they knew, the people in Jericho knew what they wanted. And so here's Jericho, and it's fortified. It's a fortified city. It was the most fortified of all the cities in the Promised Land. And so here they are, and they've crossed the Jordan, and they went through circumcision. And circumcision was cutting off the flesh. You know, we're going to go on in the spirit. We're not going on in the flesh. Glory to God. The people in Jericho understood they meant business. They were coming. Hallelujah. They were afraid of them, not because of them, but because of God. Because God was with them. Hallelujah. So the first thing that they dealt with was the fortress or the strongholds of Jericho. The stronghold of Jericho. Now the warfare against physical strongholds parallels in many ways the battle against spiritual strongholds. How many understand spiritual strongholds? When an invading army conquered foreign territory, their top priority was to remove the power of strongholds. A failure to remove strongholds would nullify any victory of land. Since an invader could not occupy every square mile of land, as soon as the army moved, the enemy in the stronghold could reoccupy conquered territory. So that was a natural or a physical stronghold. Now a spiritual stronghold is a forceful, stubborn argument, rationale, opinion, idea, and or philosophy that is formed and resistant to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are satanic. Anything that opposes Christ is from his enemy, the devil. Thus, strongholds are from Satan and his demonic hosts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself or pretends to be bigger or more powerful than God. It steals much of our emotional and mental energy. That was a quote from Beth Moore. Stronghold is anything that exalts itself or pretends to be bigger or more powerful than God. It steals much of our emotional and mental energy. Anybody ever had their energy stolen? Well, the enemy comes to steal. That's one of the ways he does it. A stronghold is constructed out of lies, wounds, curses, and demonic oppression. How many has ever been wounded? How many has ever been oppressed to the devil? Yeah, I think we all have. Glory to God. Whether you know it or not. A stronghold is a form of spiritual bondage. How many want to be free? Jesus said he came to set us free. Hallelujah. So a spiritual stronghold is a stronghold, a form of spiritual bondage. Belief strongholds are merely incorrect thinking patterns. They are patterns in our minds that are programmed to think contrary to the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So, these belief strongholds, they're merely incorrect thinking patterns. And you know, unless you were saved when you was a baby and knew all about God, had everything, Have your mind focused on him. Well, otherwise, if he was like me, that come to the Lord later, had a lot of incorrect thinking patterns in there. A lot of things that the world had put in there and the devil had put in there, you know, and so, you know, you just got to get rid of those things. Glory to God. For example, a common scenario is where a person feels dirty, guilty, and is shameful of their past. They're so used to thinking about their past that it's driven the person to think and feel like a failure. They feel unworthy to have a close, intimate relationship with God, which greatly affects their spiritual strength, faith, and relationship with Him. No wonder Satan tries to build such strongholds in our mind. Have you ever said or done something wrong, and even after you repented and asked forgiveness, you still feel unworthy to pray? Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
So how does Satan build these strongholds? Anybody want to know? Anybody interested in knowing how this operates? Because it's not something we see with our eyes or feel with our hands or, you know, any of our physical senses. It's all spiritual. And because we are so used to operating in the natural and the physical, the spirit is sort of, how do I put it? It's, until you understand it, it's unreal. Well, we're used to the natural, so it's supernatural. So we have to see what God's telling us, what He's speaking to us through His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. So here's how He builds strongholds. He starts by reminding us of our past failures and sins. He brings up things that we ought not to be dwelling upon and tries to make us agree with Him on how badly we failed. We then have the choice to listen and agree with Him or listen to God's Word, which is telling us that those sins have been washed away. I believe the Word of God says when we repent, when we ask forgiveness, God takes care of it. It's done. The devil cannot say, oh yeah, back then. Say, sorry devil, it's all under the blood of Jesus. I've repented, I've been forgiven. End of the line. We're not even going to talk about it. If we take the devil's bait, how many have ever fished, and you're out there and you're throwing some bait, and you're trying to make that fish believe that that's what he always wanted, right? He really wants that. And you hope he just latches on to it. Like fly fishermen say, it's all in the presentation. So here's the enemy. And if we take his bait, if he presents it at a time and in a way when we're vulnerable and we fall for it, come on. And begin to meditate on our failures, it'll begin to pull us down spiritually and strongholds will develop. We'll begin to see ourselves as failures because we've taken the bait and chose to meditate on a lie that the devil has fed us. Here's the way one person put it. It's not uncommon to find a person who picks up a demonic spirit through sin, such as fornication, and that demon uses its newly gained rights or ability in the person's mind to quickly build strongholds. Since the demon is able to influence the person from the inside now, it can get the job done much quicker. This is not an uncommon scenario. Not only does the demonic spirits need to be driven out, but the stronghold also needs to be torn down before the person will experience a complete breakthrough. How many know a lot of times we do things halfway instead of doing it completely? And so we have to drive that thing out. Glory to God. We have to be walking in authority. We have to understand our authority. Glory to God. God has given us authority. We have to be right with God. Or if we're not right with God, guess what? Our authority is very limited. So, and when we're walking in authority, we drive that thing out. Just like now, when you can see in the spirit realm, you can see this stuff get driven out. It's just like people see in the natural. In the spirit realm, it is actually happening. Because when you are walking in authority, when you are right with God, when you've dealt with sin, when you've taken all the necessary steps, just like a court of law, which actually is what it is, a spiritual court of law, when you've got everything lined up, then the devil has to go. You just give him marching orders. Glory to God. And then you have to tear down the strongholds. Glory to God. And everything is a process. It didn't happen just like that. And it's a process. And the more we learn about it, the easier it is to see this process through. To know that we are, we're taking ground. We are taking our stuff back. Glory to God. Say, devil, get out of here. And sometimes it's like, oh, by the way, devil, before you go, give me back my stuff. Everything that you stole, I want it back. Hallelujah. The shame, fear, control stronghold and the control, rebellion, rejection stronghold are particularly common and particularly entrapping. These are major influences that help reinforce ungodly beliefs, especially ungodly beliefs about who we are, about our identity. How many know that you know that you know who you are in Christ? No doubt. That's your identity. Glory to God. These cause a person to see himself wrongly or have a false identity. One such network is shame, fear, and control, coupled or linked up with rebellion and rejection. See, just like all the things we talked about in the natural that the nations, that the people was going in to drive out, what they represented. See, there's all kinds of these demonic things or these demonic entities in there, and they may have names, just like your name's Rick. Well, you may run into one, he'll say, I'm Rick. Or he may say, I'm Charlie. Or he may say, I'm Ahab. It don't matter. You're leaving. You know, it don't matter what you call yourself. You know, he can be operating in rejection or rebellion or whatever. And it don't matter what you call yourself. You know, if you're from the enemy, it's bye-bye, guy. Get out of here. Hallelujah. One such network, and it's like these things operate individually and also together. They like form a cobweb. And so they sort of network together. So one such network is shame, fear, and control. Oh, I talked about that. It's extremely rare that one would find someone who is exhibiting one of these influences and not also find the other influences as well. This is how they work together to bring failure into someone's life. Shame says, I am bad, I am different from everyone else. Fear says, I'm afraid that if anybody finds out how bad I am, they will not accept, approve, or love me. Control says, I have to control my environment and everyone in it so that no one discovered my defect. If control is threatened in any way, rebellion instructs us to resist, get angry, hate, scheme, and strategize to regain control. As added protection, rejection says, withdraw so that my shame is not exposed and I am not controlled. So what is shame? Shame, believing, thinking, or telling, I am bad, I am flawed, I am defective, or I am a mistake, rather than realizing the situation of choice was bad or a mistake. Shame becomes an attack on oneself, one's own identity of who I am. You might say the devil's sneaky, right? Fear. Fear limits us, restricts us, stops us, causes us to freeze. Fear prevents us from opportunities and from God's best. Fear causes us to feel unprotected, unsafe, insecure, and so on. Fear stems from shame as we are fearful that our shame, our defectiveness will be exposed. Control creates a barrier between ourselves and others. As we try to control them and control ourselves so that our shame will not be exposed. Control imprisons us. It promises to protect us from hurt or pain, yet it usually fails. Control almost always stems from fear and shame. Rebellion consists of resisting direction or control, even legitimate control. Rebellion can be an open defiance or a passive resistance or unwillingness to submit to authority. Rejection occurs when a person believes he is unappreciated, devalued, dismissed, violated, and/or victimized. Rejection can result in the person outwardly and visibly withdrawing, or it could just be an inward withdrawing and hiding. The influence of shame, fear, control, rebellion, and/or rejection are represented in every ungodly belief. Each influence provides an open door for other influences in the network. The power of each influence has to be broken. The power of each one has to be broken in order to destroy the stronghold and remove it from your life. So you're going to have to deal with each one individually. Break that power. Drive them out. One by one, and just like, okay guys, march out of here. Fear, shame, rejection, rebellion. Get out of here. Get them out, tear down the stronghold. Glory to God. And the Lord said unto, in Joshua 6:2, And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He didn't say, I've just given you Jericho, but he said, here's Jericho, here's the stronghold, and there's a king, there's a ruler in there, and there's mighty men of valor. Very interesting how all this parallels in the spiritual. Every stronghold has a king ruler governing the forces and reigning over the stronghold. The stronghold itself and the king of the stronghold are distinguished from each other. The stronghold must be destroyed, and the king must be defeated as well. If the stronghold is brought down, but the king is not brought down, then the ruler will simply relocate, rebuild, and continue his reign. If you work hard at tearing down strongholds by applying the truth in God's word, and yet you seem to hit a wall, it may be because a demonic spirit needs to be driven out. It's very possible and not uncommon to experience quite a bit of freedom through applying biblical principles, even if there's a demonic spirit present, but you will only go so far and feel like you're hitting a wall. That's a sign of a demon at work that needs to be driven out. It can be awfully hard to battle when they're working on you from the inside out. Resisting them from the outside is easy, but resisting them when they are on the inside can be extremely hard. So if you seem to reach an immovable mountain, anybody ever been there? You might want to consider the possibility of needing to have an unclean spirit driven out. Ephesians 6:12, Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, he's speaking to believers, and he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How many have ever read the Phillips commentary on the Bible? Well, Phillips puts it, it's one of the go-tos, you know, Phillips translation. Phillips says, "For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that control this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil." That's what we're up against. We're in a battle, guys. You want your promised land? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to understand the Word of God. You're going to have to know what your promised land is. You know, it's not just somebody's promised land. It's my promised land. It's your promised land. What's your promised land? Well, your promised land is your destiny. Whatever God has for you. Whatever He has, He has your life and my life all planned out. All the possibilities. We can derail some of those possibilities. But God has a lot of good things for us. One of the things He has for us is our salvation. Glory to God. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Biggest miracle in the Bible is salvation. The part that we call salvation. Salvation is a big word. But, you know, a soul being saved from hell. Hallelujah. Right relationship with God. Walking with God. God, that's the biggest miracle. How could that ever happen? Not something we do. It's all by God's grace. Glory to God. We need His grace. So Philip said that we're fighting against organizations. What's an organization? An organization is a group of people or other legal entities with an explicit purpose and written rules. So these things know exactly what they want to do. And they want to destroy us. If by chance they lose out in taking us to hell, if we accept Jesus Christ, if we're saved, if we're born again, they miss that opportunity. But boy, they sure want to make our lives miserable. And they definitely want to keep us from all the good things that God has for us. How many have ever looked in the Bible and understand there's promises in there? How many have ever, when you're reading through the Bible and it talks about the promises, and you say, that's me. Even if it was 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, if it's there, if it's in the Word, I'm reading the Word, I'm in Christ, Christ sends me, those promises are for me. And so each one of those, I can put my name in the Bible. Say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That may sound like a simple thing, but understand, that's not really a simple thing when you do that. You are making a declaration. You are declaring that this is mine. You are coming into agreement with God. Hallelujah. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord. There's a lot of good things happen just by saying, yeah, that's me, God. That's me. That's for me. The Bible says that Jesus came to heal all who were sick. Hey, put my name right there. If he came to set the captives free, that's me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not just some group of people back then. That's me. If he comes with mercy every morning, that's me. That's me. I need mercy every day. Grace. I need grace, God. All those things. Hey, I could have a lot of places in there with my name in there. That's me, God. That's me. That's me in need of prayer or grace or mercy or whatever. Hallelujah. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they, who's they? You can put your name in there. That, you know, might have life, and that they, who's they? Us. Might have it more, not just us. Me. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we can say us, but boy, it really makes it personal when we say, that's me. That's me, Lord. But I've come that they might have it more abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. You know, God wants to do so much for us, through us. I think we sell ourselves short and we sell Him short. God, if I could just have this much. And it's like God says, why do you want just that much? Don't you see what I have for you? Don't you know how big I am? Don't you know how much I love you? Would I withhold any good thing from you? Well, your promised land is that abundant life. And our battle is against the demonic powers that stand in the way of our promises being fulfilled. So if you see your promises there, and you want all of them, you want the fullness of the promises, and if you're not seeing in the spirit realm, if you're seeing in the spirit realm, you may see this. Somebody standing between you and your promises. And it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to settle for that? Well, I come up against I come up against the wall, you know. There's my promises. And we may go along with this story. Well, it's not God's will. Well, glory to God. If it's in His Word, it's His will, right?
Yes.
And so, if it's His will for me to have the promises, then I'm just going to fight for it. Whatever it takes. I'm going to be driven with passion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:28. And when He was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met Him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by their way. Now, can you see what the enemy was doing in these two men? See, God had good things for them. But the enemy had come in, and he was in control. He was in total control of those people. And so, and Jesus come on the scene, and He saw that they had no power over this stuff, and so He dealt with it, right? He drove them out. Glory to God. Well, and you might say, I would have just loved to walk with Jesus 2,000 years ago. How many would like that? Well, guess what? He's still alive.
Amen.
He's still alive. And He walks with us. He is closer than a brother. Glory to God. We just walk with Him every day. Hallelujah. Acts 8. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with devils, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. That's in the book of Acts. That was the new church, the apostles. New church. Doing the same thing that Jesus done. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what was the commandments? Some of the commandments? Go heal the sick. Cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. He's the same. Now He just lets us do the stuff. You know, it's like the disciples. Can you imagine? Now, think of it this way. You were a disciple, and you're with Jesus, and Jesus is just healing people, you know, and the people were coming to Him, and He could just teach them this supernatural. He had all this authority, and the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they was just in awe of how He understood all this. Hey, He's gone. Glory to God. And so here's the disciples, and they're with Jesus, and can you just imagine? Here's the 12 disciples, and Jesus is healing people, and they're going, blind eyes are open, the deaf ears are open, hallelujah, casting out devils, and they're going, chalk another one up. Glory to God. And now God says, well, just go do it. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Well, I think God's with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, same things I do, you're to do them. And even greater things. Now, that's a statement. Even greater things you'll do in my name or my authority. You're not going in your authority, but you're going in my authority, and these things will happen. Glory to God. In Mark 9, chapter 9, we saw that this This man had brought his son to have the demon cast out of him. And he knew what it was. He knew exactly what was happening. In 17, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal. He can't talk because he's possessed by a demon. And whenever the demon is in control of him, it dashes him to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I begged your disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. So they brought the boy, but when he saw Jesus, when they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the demon inside of the boy saw Jesus, it was like, oh no! And so the demon controlling the boy, the demon convulsed the child horribly, or made him thrash around on the ground. And he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. And it's like, Jesus isn't moved at all by this demonstration. See, it's all about, the enemy wants to get your attention. And he wants to see how impossible this seemingly is to you. And so Jesus, it's like, I've seen it all before. No big deal. So Jesus said, how long has he been this way? How long has this been going on? And his father said, since he was very small. And the demon often makes him fall into the fire and into the water to kill him. In other words, he's trying to make the boy commit suicide. Have mercy on us and do something if you can. Now, can you imagine going to Jesus and saying, now, if you can, I need a little help over here. And Jesus says, hey, if I can. That's like what we should be saying. If I can. That's not even a question. With God, all things are possible. Anything is possible if you have faith. So here comes the crowd running. They're seeing the boy. They're seeing the demon, you know, making the boy manifest there. And so they come running. And so Jesus rebuked the demon. And he said, demon of deafness and dumbness. Two demons operating. Demon of deafness and dumbness, I command you to come out of this child and enter him no more. And immediately the demons left and he was healed. In Luke 13:11, there's a story about this woman. For 18 years, she had an infirmity caused by a spirit or a demon of sickness. And she was bent completely forward. How many have ever seen this in a person?
Yes.
It's like totally, and the person... That's the only way they can see. She was completely bent forward and utterly unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are released from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she recognized and thanked and praised God. Glory to God. So here's this, and very, very explicit. This is a demon that's got her bent over. This is a demon that's controlling her. It's got her bent over. And then Jesus said, well, it's going to go. That's it. Glory to God. Matthew 8:16. Evening came. And they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he healed all who were sick. Matthew 10:8. is what Jesus is telling us to do. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. We'd do the same thing. See, Jesus is all about people being free. You don't want to see the devil controlling people, tormenting people with fear, shame, guilt, anger, sickness, whatever. That's against God. There was none of that in the garden, right? None of that stuff was in the garden. Hallelujah. And Jesus paid the price for redemption, to be redeemed from the curse of that stuff. Hallelujah. And so God's all about seeing people being free. Hallelujah. I think he gets a kick out of it. I wonder if when Jesus cast the devils out of them, he said, that's good, guys. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. You know, we pray to God for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. Well, Jesus said he came to do the will of the Father. He said, I do what I see the Father do. He said, I'm here to do the will of the Father. And so now Jesus wants to work through us. How many is a willing vessel? How many saying, God, here, I'm here, God. I just want to be used of you. Whatever you want, God. Well, Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers do we have? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. So if you're a believer, if you really believe this, then you can go and do the stuff. Glory to God. So if we want all the plans and purposes that God has, all his promises, to be fulfilled, we need to start possessing our land. Actively possessing. Possessing is aggressive. How many like to be aggressive? Glory to God. It means to lay hold of the promise. It means grasp the promise and occupy by driving out the tenants. It means to cast out, evict, destroy, and fight. Hallelujah. All those things. Do you want the promises? Do you want your promised land? Do you want all of it? Are you willing to possess it? Are you driven with passion for all that God has for you? Hallelujah. Well, understand this. God loves you so much. He wants every one of us to enjoy an abundant life. Too many times we settle for the crumbs. But God has so much for us. He loves us so much. Sickness does not bring God glory. Amen. Poverty does not bring God glory. So if the Holy Spirit's speaking to anybody today, about your promised land, about strongholds, about anything that's holding you back from your promised land, if you want prayer, you know, the Bible talks about the prayer of agreement. There are times, you know, no man is an island. There's times when we need somebody to come along with us and just to pray with us. You know, there's times when we are discouraged or anxious or whatever, and we just feel weak. And we just need somebody to come along and just pour in and just encourage and strengthen and just pray for God to move mightily. Amen. Hallelujah. So if God's speaking to you as we close, I invite you to come. You need prayer, one prayer. Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. Altar's open. Glory to God. Father, we thank you and we praise you, God. We give you all the glory and all the praise, Father. God, you are so worthy, Lord God. And God, forgive us, Father, for the times when we see ourselves as unworthy. We don't see ourselves through your eyes, Father, but God, we bought into the lies of the enemy, Father. God, just cleanse us from that stuff, Lord God. God, we thank you for your word, Father. God, we just ask, Father, God, that you'd confirm your word, Father. God, with miracles, Lord God, in this place, today, Lord God. God, I give you glory and I give you praise, Father. I love you, Lord God. God, you're awesome, you're mighty, you're glorious, Lord God. God, you reign, Father. You are the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. You're the one and only true and living God. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so mighty, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you.